Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. And today, as always, I have a lot of Bible passages. I thought I'd go through and read how many Bible passages. More than 50 Bible passages will be referred to today. So it's good that you've got your Bible. We're not going to turn to every one of them, but I'm going to mention the Bible passages about 50 times. So it's all about what's here. It's not about what's here. It's not about what our church believes. It's what is thus saith the Lord. Amen. So turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. If you're at home and online, why don't you turn there? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I know you're saying, oh, pastor, you're going to put it on the screen? Yeah, I'm going to put it on the screen. It's going to be there. But what use is to have a sword if you don't know how to use it, eh? You got to learn to use your own sword. And I remember when I was in Sunday school, we used to learn all the books of the Bible. We used to learn memory verses every week because that's all about learning how to use your sword. And so it's a little bit embarrassing when I see young people these days. They're like, oh, my goodness, is Matthew Old Testament or New Testament? Oh, my goodness. Well, you ought to learn the books of the Bible. Learn to use your sword. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I hope you've got it. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's read it as a congregation this morning. If you've got it there, reading from the King James Version. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's read it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This verse, this portion of scripture, is about order. Order. In this world, there is chaos. But if you put God first, you can have a right order in your life. Seek ye first. It says first, not second. And you see, the reality is there may be a flaw in our humanness, if that's a word, is that we are so assertive when seeking the things of the world. But we can become so passive and so casual about seeking the things of God. And Jesus corrected that frame of mind when he said, seek first the kingdom of God. There's all these things that we need. Yes, there's these things that we need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so this morning I want to speak on this topic. Very simple. Living for God. Living for God. What does it mean to live for God? What are you saying when you say that you're living for God? What are you committing to when you say, I want to live for God? We're going to look at that this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for being able to gather today. We're mindful that many people around the world have been unable to gather as a church for a long time. And so we're mindful of that privilege that we have today to gather in person. We're mindful of the privilege also, Lord, that we have the technology to be able to connect other people into our service today. And so, Lord, I pray that your word would go forth in this place, and your word would go forth through the airwaves or whatever transmits the internet to someone's device. But God, that you would use me, turn me into a microphone from heaven, that this church and everybody that's listening, oh God, may hear your word. Lord, let your word correct and reprove and instruct us in righteousness. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Living for God. Living for God. We tell people, I've changed. Now I'm living for God. Or I want to live for God. Living for God is about living in the kingdom. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Living for God means living for the king. Living in the king's domain. The word kingdom is made up of two words. The king's domain. So when we are living for God, we are saying that we are living in his domain, the place where he is the king and where he sets the rules. Everyone say, God sets the rules. And so we're talking, when we talk about living for God, we're talking about kingdom living. I've preached many times, you would have heard many times, preaching about the kingdom entry, how to get into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked Jesus that question. He said, how can I be saved? And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That is about the entry to the kingdom. But today I'm talking about living for God. I'm talking about what it means to live in the kingdom. You see, when we are born again, in John 3, verse 1 to 5, you can read it. But when we are born again, we are made righteous. The moment that you were born again, you are as righteous as the most righteous person. You are made righteous. We'll read later in Corinthians, the Bible says that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the moment that you are born again, you become righteous. Your sins are washed away. You are made right with God. The old is passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so we are made righteous through the cross, through the blood of Jesus. But what do we do after that? Can we do whatever we want now that we're in the kingdom? Can we just live however we want? No, we must live righteously in the kingdom. Kingdom living, because now we have entered the kingdom. Now we have a new king. His name is Jesus. And now we are living in a new domain. The place where God is at rule over our life. Where he sets the rule. Kingdom living. Living for God. And so some people say, well, once you accept Jesus, you can do whatever you want. Grace just covers it all. Yes, grace covers our sin, but you can't live however you want. Paul even said, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? I mean, us as parents, we know. Are we just going to keep forgiving our kids just because we're good people? No, there comes a point where we're like, you know what? You've done this 50 times. I forgave you 50 times. But hey, I'm not going to forgive you. You just need to change. And my mom always, I used to say, sorry, mom, sorry. I'm so sorry. She'd say, well, Jonathan, actions speak louder than words. And sometimes God says, I don't just want to hear your words anymore. I want to see some actions, repentant actions. And so it does matter how we live. You see, once we are saved from sin, once we're made righteous, once we are born again, we are in the kingdom of God. And now we are commanded, just like Jesus told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. He forgave her sin, but then he gave her instruction. He said, go and sin no more. Everyone say, go and sin no more. And so the scriptures tell us, contrary to popular opinion in Christianity today, the scriptures do tell us that we are to live righteously. Titus chapter 2 verse 12 says, we are commanded to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In the sweet by and by? No. In the nasty now and now. It says, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Somebody say now. You are really quiet today. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14 says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so the word of God calls us that once we are saved, once we are made righteous, once we are in the kingdom of God, it's not just about kingdom entry. It's about how we live now that we're in the kingdom. I'm talking today about living for God. And so we must present ourselves as holy unto God, Romans chapter 12. We are told in 2 Corinthians to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. We are told in James 4 verse 4 to separate ourselves from all worldliness. And so I'm talking not today about kingdom entry. I'm talking to those of us who have been saved. And now I'm talking about how we live now that we are saved. How we live in the kingdom of God. You see, living in the kingdom is the place where the king is at rule, where the king sets the rules. We are in his domain. We allow God to have comprehensive rule. Everyone say rule. Comprehensive rule over every part of our life. God, you are in charge. You have rule over every part of my life. You see, when you're in the kingdom, you live according to God's divine standards. No longer worldly standards, no longer our standards, no longer comparing ourselves to each other. But when we live in the kingdom of God, we say, what does the word of God say? And I want my life to align with that. Now, you might like to turn to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Paul writing to the church at Rome. This is the church at Rome. These are people that are already saved. They're part of the church. In Romans 14 verse 17, it says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not things. The kingdom of God is not things. It's not tangible things. It's not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness. There's an order here. Look at the order. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I want to stop there because If you don't have righteousness, you can never have peace with God. If you're not living according to His word, how can you be at peace? I mean, even, as much as I love my son, if he's blatantly disobeying what I've asked, he is not at peace with me. I love him, but next time I see him, I'm going to correct him. I'm going to ask him what's going on. Why are you being so disrespectful? And why aren't you obeying your dad? Why aren't you listening to what your parents say? And the same is with God. If we cannot have peace with God if we are not living righteously. If we're not living according to God's word. If God has shown us things and how to live. If God has spoken to us how to live. How can we go to God and be all chummy and all buddy, all pal with him when we know that we're not living according to his word? And so it says this, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness first. And if you live righteous, then you can have peace with God. And here's the other side of the thing. If you don't have peace, you can never have joy. There's no such thing as joy without peace. So righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you want peace with God, righteousness leads to peace, and peace leads to joy. And so today, I'm talking about living for God. Living for God. Living according to God's standard. God's divine standard for how we live our life. Righteousness. Now, it's very easy. In fact, we're probably all experts at this. We can easily look at somebody else and say, this is where they fall short. But the silly thing is that often we miss exactly where we fall short. It's much easier to look at other people than to look in the mirror. The Bible even says that there are people that try to remove the little speck from someone else's eye while they've got a massive beam in their own eye. It's kind of humorous, isn't it? But it's real. In that we're so good at seeing the flaws of others and the unrighteousness in others, but we miss it in our own life. And so it's easy to look at others, but it's hard to look in the mirror. And not just to look in the mirror, but to ask ourselves the question, are my actions righteous or unrighteous? There's no such thing as in the middle. Are they righteous or unrighteous? Is my lifestyle righteous or unrighteous? So I look in the mirror. The Bible calls the Bible the mirror. When we look into the Word of God, we look at our life and say, well, is my life righteous or unrighteous? How does it match up to God's divine standard? Are my words, the words that I speak, my language, is it righteous or unrighteous? And people say, well, nothing in the Bible says you can't use the four-letter words. Well, let me tell you, Christians ought not use those four-letter words. Social media posts, are they righteous or unrighteous? It's my media consumption, videos, internet, righteous or unrighteous? See, it's easy to look at other people and say, that's not right. It's hard to look in the mirror and say, well, am I living righteous or unrighteous? All the words they speak are wrong, but I look in the mirror and ask myself, are the words that I speak righteous or unrighteous? You see, righteousness is God's standard for living. God's standard. God's standard. Everyone say God's standard. It's not church's standard. It's not religion's standard. It's not the Queen's standard. It's not the prime. It's not the law. It's not your friends. It's not even your own opinion. Righteousness is God's standard of living. And God's standard of living is given to us in His word, His instructions for life. There was a young man, and this man, he went to visit his friend John, who was a farmer. And so he went out to the farm. He was going to spend the day with his friend named John, and he went through the farm gate, and he started driving up the driveway to the house where he's going to see his mate John up there. And as he was driving up the driveway, he went past the big barn where they keep the hay. And he looked at the barn and he had to stop. Whoa. Because he saw something that completely amazed him. Wow, look at that. On the side of the barn were 20 targets. You know, archery targets with the dot in the middle, the bullseye. There were 20 targets on the side of the barn. And in the middle of every single bullseye, there was a hole. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, look at all those targets. And look how well he can shoot. He's hit the bullseye with every single shot. He looked over the barn wall. You know what? There were no other shots. Every shot in the side of the barn went in the bullseye. Every shot. No other holes. Every hole was in the middle of the bullseye. Wow. this guy's a good shooter. He's a crack shot. Somebody's been using the barn for target practice. Amazing. He couldn't believe it. And so he kept driving up and his mate John came out and met him. He said, hey, how you going? He said, hey, John, but before I say anything, man, who is it that's been shooting at the side of your barn? Amazing. A great shot. I'd like to just comment because that's amazing. 20 shots, 20 bullseyes. Amazing. Was that you, John? He goes, yeah. That was me. That was me. Yeah. Wow, man, John, you're a great shot. You mean to tell me, yeah, you really did that? He said, yeah, I made all those shots. Oh, you're amazing. You ought to go to the Olympics. You're an amazing shot. How did you learn, John, to shoot so well? He goes, well, it's pretty simple. I shoot first and then I draw the target. Now, that's funny. But we can relate to that. Because there are a lot of people that live the life they want to live and then just make the Word of God accept it. Make it right. Twist the Word of God. But let me tell you, the Word of God is the bullseye. You don't shoot first and draw the target later. You can't change God's Word to suit your lifestyle. You can't water it down. God's Word is God's standard for living. And so many people have this lifestyle they want to live, and then they just want God's Word to be manipulated and changed so that it makes their lifestyle acceptable. Let me tell you, God's not interested in us shooting first and drawing a target later. God's Word is His standard. It is His standard for living. It is His standard for righteousness. And so I would go as far to say that anybody who tries to change God's Word to suit them is actually changing God into something that He's not. And that to change God and to worship someone that isn't God, to make another God, is to make an idol. And there are a lot of Christians that have made a God into something that they're more comfortable with. Oh, my God wouldn't do that. Oh, my God accepts this. Well, when you do that, when you create a God that doesn't line up with His Word, you've created an idol. And a lot of people are creating and worshiping gods that they've made in their own image, a God that they're comfortable with. But God's Word is His standard. Now, when we are saved, we become righteous. But then when we are in the kingdom, we must live according to the kingdom. We are all sinners. We weren't righteous until we were born again. But now we are righteous. We are in the kingdom. Now we must live according to the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says this, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." We became righteous because of Jesus. Righteousness is the target. And I can't talk about living for God without talking about righteousness. Because you can't live for God unless you're living according to His Word. Righteousness is right living. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says that we must walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which He has called us. That we would live a lifestyle that aligns with God's Word. Now, where can we find about how to live righteously? Well, the Bible tells us. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says this, "All Scripture," everyone say all. Now, just so we can get really deep and theological, all right? All, the meaning of the word all, the three-letter word is all. I don't know how to explain it any other way. All. All means all. It doesn't just mean your favorite portions of Scripture or your favorite verses or the ones you're comfortable with. No, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is breathed of God. Every word, every dot, every tittle, the Bible says. And it is all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is profitable and it helps instruct us how to live righteously. Now, let's just be honest. You think, well, there's a lot of stuff there, Pastor. I mean, I'm new. I don't know everything that's in the Bible, and you're telling me that I got to live a life according to all of that right now? It's going to take me a while to even get through it, Pastor. Well, this is the thing. You can't know it all immediately, but God is going to hold you accountable for what He reveals to you. And so there'll be times you come to church, and God's going to speak to you about a specific part of your life. And from that point on, God is going to hold you accountable. It's like our kids. I say to my son, you know, I teach him how to do things, and when I've explained it to him, I expect him to do it. But I'm not going to hold him for accountable for things I've never taught him or never told him or never explained to him and that he doesn't know. I'm not going to hold him accountable. And the same is with God. As we read our Bible, God's going to speak to us. Oh, okay. I never saw that there, but I think God's speaking to me. I need to change something. And you know, from that point on, God's going to hold us accountable. He's teaching us. He's teaching us. And so we are growing. It doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. Some people have been serving God a long time, and we're still learning what God wants us to do. We're still learning what His Word says. We're still learning how to align our life with His Word. And so the Bible gives us instruction in righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul told the church to put on the armor of God. Everyone say the armor of God. Now, the Roman soldiers, they wore armor, and so Paul used the illustration of the armor to illustrate the protection we have. And the first thing that the Roman soldier would put on would be the belt of truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is the truth. The word of God first. And the second thing that the soldier would put on is the breastplate. And Paul said, put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of... ask you again. And the breastplate of righteousness. Now, a pretty critical piece of armor right there, the breastplate of righteousness, because underneath that breastplate is the heart and the lungs. And you ain't going to get very far without a heart and lungs. Any blow to your heart, even if it's not a piercing, even just a brute like a force or a thump or any impact on the heart, will cause you to have a lot of sickness and a lot of problems. Even just a little bit of heart disease can affect your whole life. Even just a little problem with your lungs. You see, the breastplate covered the vital organs, including the heart. It was worn from the midsection here to the neck to the thighs. And that breastplate was the difference between life and death. It protected the vitals. And so Paul said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Did he speak that to unbelievers? No. He spoke that to the church at Ephesus. He said, now that you're saved, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going to explain it. You see, when you are born again, you are made righteous. The cross didn't just take away your sin. The cross did something miraculous. The cross gave you a new heart. The Bible says, and a new heart will I give you. And so it took away your sin and gave you a new heart. The cross, when we are born again, we are made righteous. So you have a new heart. And so Paul told them, put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what he's telling him? Telling them, he's saying, righteous living will protect your new heart. Righteous living according to the word of God, walking and living like a Christian ought to live according to the word of God and God's divine standard. Righteousness will protect your new heart. We don't live righteously just so we can get a new heart. We live righteously to protect our new heart. That is holiness. That is righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. And when we begin to live unrighteously, as Christians, we are creating an environment for the devil to come in, to attack our heart. Everyone say attack. Now, if you go around Canberra, you look on the number plates, there's a few different things. It says, you know, Canberra, the bush capital. All right, how many people like the bush capital? Anyone like living in Canberra? Lift your hand if you like living in Canberra. Look at all the Canberra lovers. Woo! Just go to Sydney and you'll realize why you love living in Canberra, you know? Sydney's good for a couple of days, but then when you've got a headache and you just want to go back to the peaceful drive to work of 10 minutes and not sirens going off all night as people getting stabbed and shot in the streets, not quite that bad, then you realize how good we have it in Canberra. But Canberra is the bush capital. What I love is maybe even this afternoon I'll go home and get my dog and my boys and we'll go for a walk. And we're going to walk out around a lake and we're going to see ducks and swans and kangaroos because we live in the bush capital. But when you live in the bush capital, you can expect some wildlife. And I talked about them before, snakes. And so the ACT government is very, very proactive about protecting us from snakes. They tell us, you better clean up your backyard. you've got stuff laying around in your backyard, like old pieces of junk and old pieces of metal and a wood pile and rubbish laying around in your backyard, you got to clean it up. Why? Because the snakes will come and live there. Now, a lot of people in church have had snakes in their backyard over time. The reality is most of you have probably had snakes go through your backyard at some time. They're just traveling through. But if you got a lot of junk in your backyard, the snakes won't travel through. They'll come through and go, nice house right here. I might just stay here. Oh, Jesus. Snakes. Makes your skin crawl, doesn't it? Yeah, you got to respect them. That's exactly right. Respect them. Keep away. The best thing to do, just a little bit of practical advice. If you see a snake, just walk backwards. Just keep an eye. Yeah. Okay. And then go ring the ranger. Got a snake in my backyard. But they tell you to clean up your backyard so that the snakes don't come and stay. The thing is when you have all that junk in your backyard, you're not inviting the snakes to come, but you're creating an atmosphere where they feel comfortable. And they're going to stay. And the same is with unrighteous living. As Christians, when we begin to live unrighteously, when we allow sinful things to become part of our lifestyle, we are not inviting the devil, but we are creating an environment where he's going to feel comfortable. All we had to do with those snakes is create an environment that was conducive for them, and they invited themselves. It was like rolling out the red carpet. And we've got to put on that breastplate of righteousness. You're saying, I didn't ask the devil to attack my heart. But you didn't put on the breastplate of righteousness. You created an environment conducive to the devil coming and attacking you. And righteous living is that breastplate. It protects our new heart. When we are born again, God gives us a new heart. But righteous living protects that new heart. And the enemy, Satan, he's got one thing in mind. He's trying to attack your heart. Why? Why is he so interested in our heart? Because the Bible says, out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Everything. All the issues of life flow out of the heart. So if he can attack your heart, if you're going to live unrighteously and invite him in to attack your heart, if you're going to leave the door open by not putting on the breastplate of righteousness, you may as roll out the doormat to ask the devil to attack your heart. And when he attacks your heart, it will flow into all the issues of your life. And so Christians, I know this sounds old-fashioned, but there are things that we don't do as Christians. Because it doesn't line up with the principles of God's word. There are places we don't go as Christians. There are things we don't watch. There's music we don't listen to. There's things we don't wear. Why? Because it doesn't line up with the principles of God's word. Why? Because God gave me a new heart and I want to protect that new heart. I want to live righteously. I want to live for God. I don't want to live for this world. I don't want to live for anybody else. I want to live for God. I want to live according to God's standard. I might just be called an old-fashioned preacher, but I want to tell you, the breastplate of righteousness is still a requirement for every single Christian. Yes, God gave you a new heart, but you protect your new heart through living a righteous life. Keep your heart, Proverbs 4:23, with all diligence. Be careful, be diligent about keeping your heart, for out of it flow all the issues of life. And so the world doesn't tell me how to live. God's word tells me how to live. Other Christians don't tell me how to live. God's word tells me how to live. Pop culture doesn't tell me how to live. God's word tells me how to live. Praise God. God's word is right and everything else is wrong. It's not that I'm right and you're wrong. No, God's word is right and everything else is wrong. God's word is our standard for living. And so we talked about kingdom entry, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But now we're in the kingdom. How do we live? Under the king's domain, where he has comprehensive rule over every part of our life. And so words like righteousness and submission and obedience, in a lot of churches, it's become a dirty word. You don't want to preach about righteousness. I mean, are you going to go to church and some pastor's going to preach on the Bible and tell us how we ought to live our life? Well, it's what it is. You go to the doctor's going to tell you how to eat healthy, how to stay healthy, how to lengthen your days, how to have a healthy life. And so these words, righteousness, submission, obedience, they all become dirty words. But there is power and freedom in righteousness. You believe the Bible tells us that? Righteousness is not just some weight we need to carry, But there is power and freedom in righteousness. Here's the first one. Proverbs 28 verse 11. Proverbs 28 verse 11. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Righteous people can live boldly. You don't have to worry. You got nothing hidden. You're living righteously. I remember I used to help some young guys that were in trouble with the law. And I remember every time we saw a police car, he was panicking because he always thought he's going to get caught because he had all these things that he was doing wrong. And he thought, oh, now they found out about me. No, they were just filling up with petrol. They're just following us. They're not looking for you. But, you know, but when you're living righteously, you can live boldly. You can walk into the police station, not be worried they're going to catch you. You can live boldly. The Bible says that the righteous people live boldly. Adam and Eve hid from God. They've been running from God. Why? Because of their unrighteousness. You don't have to run. You can live boldly. Life is stressful enough. Then you add unrighteousness and you're going to go mad. But the righteous live as bold as a lion. I want to live a bold life. And the other day, I was reading an article by Psychology Today, and they were saying that a lot of anxiety is linked to living a double life. That a lot of people on social media, they have this anxiety because they've got to keep up their double life, their online persona and their real persona. And the same thing happens in Christianity when you're trying to be a Christian and look like you're all righteous and then you've got this other persona in the world. That is going to drive you crazy. But when you live righteously, you can live as bold as a lion. Everyone say bold. Here's another thing. Look at these scriptures. Proverbs 2 verse 7. Righteousness brings wisdom and direction. He layeth up. God layeth up sound wisdom for what? For who? For the righteous. God gives wisdom to the righteous. He is a buckler. He is a protector. He gives direction to those who live righteously. Righteousness is not just a weight or some sort of discomfort that we have to go through. There are blessings when we live righteously. I'm so happy that I'm living for God. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It brings me comfort. It instructs me in the way to live. I am blessed. I can live bold. I can have wisdom and direction when I live righteously. Righteousness has eternal benefits, obviously. Proverbs 10 verse 2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Righteousness is a filter for our ever-powerful word. Has anybody ever been in a situation where your words got you in trouble? All right, I'm preaching to the angels today. All right, let me just preach to myself for a little while. Let me just preach to myself. Has anyone here? Yes, me. Yes, I have. My words have got me in trouble. All right, you guys can just listen on while I preach to myself. All right? Maybe I ought to preach about lying as well, hey? Righteousness is a filter for our ever-powerful word. When you live righteously, your mouth is not going to get you in trouble. It says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Proverbs 10 verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. If you don't want your lips to get you in trouble anymore, live righteously. But the mouth of the wicked speak frowardness. Righteousness exalts a nation. Can you imagine if our entire nation would live righteously? We can go further. If righteousness exalts a nation, then righteousness exalts a family as well. A righteous family will be blessed. You know, so many Christians, they get muddled up in politics. They get involved in politics. And in fact, they start looking to politics to solve the world's problems. You won't find a political party that will solve all the world's problems. They may solve some and they're going to leave others undone. Other parties will do this here and they'll leave that undone. You got to stop looking to political parties to solve our problems. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Not left wing exalting a nation, not right wing, not in the middle, not conservative, not progressive. No, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And the best outcome for the nation of Australia, the best outcome for our city is righteousness. If we would get back to the word of God, righteousness exalts a nation. These are the blessings of righteousness. This is the power of righteousness. This is the freedom that we have in righteous living. Righteousness is more valuable than riches. Proverbs 16 verse 8 says, better to have a little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. It's better to have a little and to be godly than to be rich and be dishonest. God blesses the rich, righteous with a superior life. A little that a righteous man is better than the riches of many of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. I tell you today, we have a choice. In every message that you hear preached, every time you open up the Word of God, you have a choice. Everyone say a choice. You have the power to make a choice, and your choice has the power to make you. You have the power to make a choice, and your choice has the power to make you. We look at Job. Job was a blessed man. He was rich at the beginning. He went through a trial, and he was even more blessed at the end. But let me tell you, it wasn't just some preference. The Bible says he eschewed evil. He kept away. He desired to live righteously. He said, Lord, you give and take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to change the way I live. You see, Job didn't just have a preference. It was a commitment. And too many people are just living on, oh, my preference is Christianity. No, make a commitment to live for God. Make a commitment. And if you're a young person listening to me today, make a commitment at a young age to serve God. You won't remember what is preached today, but if you would respond and you'd say, God, I want to change my life. I need to get my life in order with your word. You won't remember what I preach today, but you will remember the change that happened today. It wasn't a preference with Job, it was a commitment. If the musicians could come, what will you respond to? What will be your response today? What will be your response? If you want your life to be a masterpiece, then put everything you've got into living for God. What am I speaking about today? Living for God. What am I speaking about, church? Living for God. And I can't talk about living for God without talking about being in the kingdom and in the king's domain where the king sets the rules, because righteousness is allowing God to have the comprehensive rule over every part of our life. I'm preaching about the kingdom. Let's stand in this place today. In Deuteronomy, as I finish, Deuteronomy chapter 28. We love this verse. We love it, but I hear it quoted way too much out of context. We go straight to verse 3. We say, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of thy body, blessed the fruit of the ground and the fruit of thy cattle. Blessed, blessed, blessed. I'm going to be blessed, blessed, blessed. I'm going to be blessed. The favor of God. I'm going to be blessed. Well, good, great. Just read the verses before, because the conditions on being blessed are there. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if, everyone say if, the big if. I say to my kids, I'll buy you an ice cream if. They better listen, because there ain't going to be no ice cream unless they fulfill what I'm about to say. God says, and it shall come to pass, if thou will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe to do all his commandments. If you would do your best to live righteously, do your best to obey the word of God, that the Lord God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee. All these blessings, not just on you, but the blessings will overtake you. Overtake you. Whew. If you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and blessed shall be thy store. Blessed shall they be when you come out and when you go come in and when you go out. You're going to be blessed. When? When you live according to the word of God. I'm talking about living for God. I'm talking about the power and freedom of living a righteous life for God. And so I ask you, how hungry are you for righteousness? For the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after riches. No. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after popularity. No. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, for they shall be satisfied. Life is short. Time is short. If you were to ask the Bible a question, what is life? The Bible would reply resoundingly, it is a vapor. that appears for a moment and then it vanishes away. We tell young people all the time, don't we? Life is short, Sister Shanice. Life is short. And they look at us and they smile and they don't really get it. But you ask someone older, they say, well, it just seemed like yesterday I was in school. Life is short, it's but a vapor. We find it hard to get young people to understand just how brief and how quickly life passes. But here's the reality, young people and older people, we all got the same amount of time. We all have 1,440 minutes a day. We all have 168 hours a week. You only have one short life and you're spending it every day. One man, as he was growing older, there's a book out there. I can't remember the title of it. I could tell you if you ask me later. But it says if you're 35 years of age, you have approximately 500 days to live. 500 days. When you're 35, you have approximately 500 days to live. The guy went on to say, if you take out all of the things that you have to do, sleeping, eating, traveling, and all that, when you're 35, you only have 500 days to live as you wish, doing what you want to do. 500 days. Scary, isn't it? So this man, elderly man, he went and got 500 marbles. He got a big bucket and he put it in his shed. And he would go out there every day and in his retirement, and he would go and he would take one marble and he'd throw it in the bin. Every day. Go out there. Just helping him realize that life is short and helping him focus on what is important. When you live a life realizing that we've only got one life and that we're spending it day by day and that soon it will be over, you'll make sure you get your priorities right. And I want to tell you that Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 is all about order. It's all about priorities. It's not about God ruining our life. It's not about restrictions. It's the power and it's the freedom of living in righteousness. If you get Him first and His righteousness and kingdom living right, if you get that in the right order, everything else will follow. If you get it out of order, you'll end up with chaos. But put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is calling us, church, to live a righteous life, to live a life according to His divine standard. There is blessings and there is provision. There is power and there is freedom. There is a life like you've never known if we would live righteously. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Yes, you've been born again. God gave you a new heart. He made you righteous, as righteous as the most righteous person when you were born again. But now we are in the kingdom. We must live according to the King's commands. We must live that righteous life. Let's just take a moment right now to pray and receive what God has spoken to us. This altar is going to be open if you want to come and pray. We're going to sing. We're going to worship God. But maybe there's somebody here today that needs to make it right with God. I want to tell you that there is blessings untold. There is freedom and there is power. There is deliverance. There is security when you live righteously. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us a new heart. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a clean slate when we were born again. That we were made righteous, oh God, through you. That you took our sin upon yourself. That you died in our place. We thank you, Lord, that you made us righteous. We thank you, Lord, that we can be born again into your kingdom. But now that we're in your kingdom, oh God, I pray that we would live every day focused on living for you. Focused on living that righteous life. Living a life according to your divine standards, oh God. We love you, Jesus. I want to remind you today, church, Jesus is coming back. Why don't you live for Jesus? Why don't you live for God? Why don't you get your priorities right? Yes, I know you have need of so many things. Jesus said that. You got need of so many things. But seek me first and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The most important words you could ever hear are, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. This altar is open. We're going to worship God as we search our hearts. Yes, Lord.